There was nothing left.
Just a little bit of oil, that was all she had. The situation looked hopeless. Life seemed empty. The fire that she had was gone, and she could no longer sustain her family. A widow with nothing. She was a widow with nothing. That was a story with the creditor approaching. In her most desperate time of need, she stood all alone. No friends, no family. And they read out your charges. You cannot pay your debt, your children now becomes a ransom, and they shall be taken. She cried, Lord, I have nothing left. I'm a widow with nothing. That was a testimony. But when God heard a desperate cry, he came down for his soul. He quickly came to her as he heard the cry of his own. He led her to find Elisha, the prophet for that hour. Go, thus saith the Lord. God had already told me your troubles will be gone. The story of your life will be different from now on. Bring every child you can find. God will transform your life. The little oil you have will be multiplied. Even now, right now, your children will never be slaves, and you will never be in debt anymore. God has chosen you, and in your home he will work a paradox. In the house that was empty, now has everything. The widow who was weeping can rejoice and sing. Where there was nothing today, you can have it all. Step out by faith and see God multiply your oil. Now your fire is burning, turn a light to day. You touch the hem of his garment as he passed your way. All you saw for in the hands of death. Now see the blessings of the Lord. Go, thus saith the Lord. God had already told me your troubles will be gone. The story of your life will be different from now on. Bring every joy you can find. God will transform your life. The little oil you have will be multiplied. Even now, right now, your children will never be slaves, and you will never be in debt anymore. God has chosen you, and in your home he will work a paradox. In the house that was empty, now has everything. The widow who was weeping can rejoice and sing. Where there was nothing, today you can have it all. Step out by faith and see God multiply your oil. Now your fire's burning, shine your light today. You touch the hem of his garment as he passed your way. All you saw for in the hands of death. Now see the blessings of the Lord. Even now, right now, even now, right now.
God bless you.
Brother Blake.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.
Before I sing this song, just a small testimony, if you don't mind.
Amen.
First of all, I would like to thank all you saints for the prayers you did for Sister Deirdre's brother-in-law John Bell. Now, you remember this, a few weeks ago, the guy had cancer. They didn't expect him to last this particular night, Saturday. And the Sunday, well, he progressed from there on. I think now he is home. So praise be to the Lord. And thank you so much. Yourself a round of applause and thank the Lord. He does answer prayers. And the second thing is, last Sunday, as you all know, the wonderful brother we had here preaching, I'm not very good with names, but you all remember him. He was a fine pastor. Now, I went up for in the prayer line because I've had this problem for a while now, a year or so. It's called diverticulitis. I don't know if you have any medical people here who knows what that is. It's something to do with the bowels anyway. The food you eat is not traveling through the body how it should do. And there's a kind of a blockage. And this blockage stopped me from eating very quickly at all. You know, it just doesn't pass through how it should do. So I had this problem. And I went for prayer last Sunday. And the brother prayed for me. And he said to me, well, brother, he said he didn't really understand, I think, the diverticulitis was, but he said, whatever it is, the good Lord will take care of it. And as far as I'm concerned, now he said, but in 2 days that will be gone. And I went, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, the Lord, good Lord, must have been on bonus. Okay, because he didn't wait 2 days at all. By the Sunday evening, I actually went to the toilet for the first time. I know it's not very nice to talk about this, but I went to the loo for the first time for ages. And I thought, hallelujah. And praise the Lord, it's gone. I have no more diverticulitis. Thank you.
Amen.
And thirdly, if you can bear with me a second, on the Monday, Sister Deirdre got up on the Monday morning and she had this weird mark on her leg, and we thought it had been bitten or something during the night. It was a horrible purpley sort of thing, but it didn't look like a bite, you know, but this is what we thought it probably was. Anyway, the day went on, and it got kind of a little bit worse. It was kind of irritating. And then by the Wednesday, it was still irritating quite a bit, but by Wednesday night, half past 10 it was, in actual fact, Sister Davis, she was busy sitting at the table doing some sewing, you know what women do. And and she happened to look down and she said, God, my leg is really playing up. And she looked and there's all these weird, I don't know what you call them, blotches on her leg. And it looked terrible. And I said to her, Deirdre, I said, I really don't like the look of this at all. I'm going to phone the doctors or a hospital or something. So we have a place called My Doc in Longford. And I phoned them up, out of our surgery thing. And I phoned them up and I explained the situation. And the nurse said to me, it sounds very much like to me as if she has cellulitis. I think that's the word. And she said, you'll have to bring her into the doctor to have a look at straight away. We'll be here by 11:30, it was. So anyway, we got ourselves ready. We went to the doctors and we sat there. Must have been 12, half past before we were actually seen. And the doctor looked at her and he said, yes, that is definitely cellulitis. Now, this can be, if it spreads too much, can be life-threatening. And I actually marked it with a pen where it was when I first see it. And it had grown a bit within the time we got to the doctors. But anyway, the doctor looked at her and he said, well, first of all, we said, I'd like to give you some medication, antibiotics, and some cream to put on it. And we hope that it's going to stop, you know, whatever, which we did. But anyway, I think Sister Deirdre phoned up Brother George, I think it was, and I think Brother Maxwell also, to have it prayed for on the Wednesday here at the service. Oh, Friday's not when. It was last Friday's prayer meeting here, and which you all prayed. That we're most grateful because the pain has gone. Amen. The scarring is still there, but the pain has gone and the swelling has reduced. So I think the good Lord is taken his time a little bit. He wasn't in such a rush as he was with me, but it is disappearing. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank Amen. You.
Hallelujah.
Now, I've not actually prepared for this particular song. I had something else lined up for today, but it's been changed. So I think I sang this one last week or the week before. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Okay, is that okay? Okay, Brother George. I think it was in E, wasn't it? I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sands, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. I'm down on my knees, that's where I learned to think, because I can't even walk without you holding. I will make Jesus my own. When I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. And if I can't trust him, I'll be less than a man, cause I can't even walk without him holding. Can't even walk without him holding my hand. The mountains too high and the rivers too wide. I'm down on my knees, that's where I learn to stand, because I can't even walk without him holding my hand.
Once again,
without him holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. I'm down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand, because I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Cause I can't even walk without him holding my hand.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. Before, let's sing that song, We're Marching to Zion. But before, I had promised the Lord I would just give this, just a small testimony. I spoke to the pastor about it this week. It was on the 27th of the 7th, 2014, it was at 10 o'clock at night, we were here. Is that the say? Yeah, we were here 10:44. And we were here like we normally do, Brother Maxwell, Brother Will. And there were two ladies from Ghana and Sister Lily. We were here praying. And we're praying all night. Now, many times, like when we go, like people can say, like my daughter will say, why do you go do all night in the church? Because it looks like you're doing nothing. But there was one request that I had. My boss's friend, his name is Alan. This is a friend of mine. His boss is Ken Kelleher. He had cancer. You see, and he was going for chemotherapy. He goes to London for chemotherapy. So this week, Alan phoned me on Wednesday saying, George, you know, last time you prayed for me to get a job, I got a job. Yeah, and he says, now I have to tell you that my boss, Ken, he's been cleared of all his cancer. You see, so I just wanted to testify that sometimes I said it to Sister Liana, and she said, you know, I couldn't believe it. I was amazed. I said, but how can it be? Maybe a baby and those things you can understand. Then she says, you know, sometimes, said something interesting. I'm not saying she's a preacher now, but she said something interesting. She said, hey, you know what? It goes to show that there's never a prayer that is forgotten. Amen. Imagine, so I was saying to the pastor, imagine, just like our prayer, we are so small, you know. We are just little pieces in this church. Us, the way we were praying that night. I consider myself a doormat. I consider myself chiefest of sinners. But if the chiefest of sinners can pray, and God can answer, imagine what the whole church can do. If we all pray together. And when I was given that thanksgiving by this friend of mine, and I thought, so the issue of the church, it's nothing. If we could get together as a church, if we can pray, 3-4 of us for cancer, and some worldly people that were here with us, you see, if we can pray for man for cancer, surely we can pray for our church. It's a small thing if we pray together. So I just wanted to testify that was my testimony there. Let's sing that song, We're Marching to Zion. But Will, I don't know if you want to do the offering now. Come we that have the Lord, and every joys be known. Oh, join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. Pass around the throne and pass around the. Oh, yeah, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those we used to see and every. In a song with sweet accord, in a song with sweet accord, and I hear the throne speak with Joseph. Oh yeah, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The Lean of Zion is a thousand sacred sweet. Oh, before we reach the heavenly peace, before we reach the heavenly peace, through the golden streets of hope, the golden. Oh, yes, we marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let our songs above and every day be dry. We march through a man who's come. We marching through a man who's come to fear the world on high, to fear the world on. Oh yes, we marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion.
beautiful city of God.
Let's sing one more song. Sister Teriro requesting if we can sing Blessed Assurance in praise to the Lord for her birthday today. So we say happy birthday to the sister. May the Lord bless her. Let's sing that song for the sister. Yeah.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Here of salvation, purchase of gold. This is my story. This is my soul. Praising my Savior. Oh, the devil. This is my story. This is my soul.
Hallelujah.
Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Watching and waiting, looking upon, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
This is my story.
This is my story. This is my soul.
My soul.
My Savior, for the Lord, this is my story. This is my soul. Praising my Savior.
Saints, let's come to a time of prayer. Let's all put ourselves before the Lord. Let's remember Brother David today. He's not well. Let's pray the Lord might touch him and restore him back to health once again. Whatever your need, you speak to the Lord. Let's put the service before the Lord. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's come before the throne of grace. Let's put ourselves before Him. Father, we're grateful upon this morning, Lord, once again, that, Lord, we can gather, Lord, by your grace in your house, that, Father, we can come as your people, that we can look unto Thee. Wanting to come, Father, even upon this day. Just to sit at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. 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 Saints, let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. We want to just greet Dion's friend Faith once again, who's with us. God bless you, Faith. It's nice to have you in the house of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Let's open the book of Revelation. We do greet you, saints, in Jesus' name today. Just really grateful to everybody for their prayers when our car broke. And just really keep us in your prayers. We get things done. But I really do appreciate, you know, there's certain times when things really take a turn for the bad at an unexpected time that you really appreciate the family of God. You know, the saints even up in the north there, they were just so helpful to us. And the saints here, we really do appreciate the people who offered us to use their cars and stuff. May the Lord bless them for that. We do really appreciate at these kind of times, you know, that the Lord in his body ministers to the needs of his body. And that's how myself personally, I'd never ever want to separate from the body of Christ. I don't know of any better relationship to have than to be a son of God in the midst of the family of God. I think sometimes you'll only appreciate it if you don't have it for a while. Because many times we take it for granted, our brothers and our sisters and the love and care people have for one another. And I think when you get out there in the big wide world and you find out that it's not such a pleasant place out there, you know, in this kind of age that we're living in, it's a precious thing, friends, to have the family of God, to really be associated with the sons and daughters of God. So I really do appreciate that before the Lord. Let's read Revelation chapter 18. We'll read three chapters, just a couple of verses from each in the book of Revelation, working backwards. Just to get ourselves a thought today, we started off on Friday, we started looking at something, so I just want to continue today. Revelation 18 from verse 1, we're going to read to verse 5. We know this speaks of the message of the hour. These verses are prophetic, and we can say in our age now, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So speaking of Babylon, now Babylon represents the age we're living in. Babylon represents as a spiritual Babylon. We know that's Rome and her daughters and so forth. And there's also the natural Babylon. The prophet speaks of it when he preached on the handwriting on the wall, and he took America and Hollywood and so forth as being Babylon as well, and the handwriting on the wall. So Babylon can be applied, but Babylon represents the condition of the day that we're living in now. That it's become a cage of every foul spirit, every unclean and hateful bird. It's not a nice spiritual atmosphere out there, friends. It's not a nice moral atmosphere out there. It's not the sort of time that you want to be trying to bring up your family or live your life outside of the grace of God in a time like this. For all nations, verse 3, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Let's also read Revelation 15. We'll take a few verses. Let's read verse 1 first of all, just to get the Bible reading. Verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. We'll skip down then to verse 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. They were attired as judges now. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. So one of the beasts, which is the eagle, the last of the beasts, the message moves from the beast into the plagues. You know, from the living creature, the eagle, it moves into the stage of the plagues coming forth straight from the days of the eagle. Verse 8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple. There was no access to the mercy seat. There was no way you could come under the wings of the cherubim. There was no way you could seek mercy. No way you could make an atonement. No way you could be forgiven of your sin. Imagine these plagues were being poured forth. God's wrath upon the earth. And if you hadn't have taken advantage of getting to the mercy seat while the way was open, the opportunity had passed you by now. Because now, instead of being a bloody throne, which means a mercy seat, there's no more blood. And it becomes smoky, and there's thunder, and there's lightning, and it becomes a judgment seat. And friends, there's going to be people living who are going to need mercy. They're going to need grace. When the plagues are striking and the judgments of God are in the earth, we don't mind now. Whatever comes our way, we have access unto the throne of grace. But imagine, saints, living in a time when the door is shut and you need grace and there's no more grace. But that's what's coming upon this earth. That's what it says, verse 8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Let's finish with Revelation 4, which is another scripture for our day. Verse 1 and verse 2. This is to the bride. This is what happens. At the same time that these other scriptures are being fulfilled, we fulfill this scripture. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So hell is opened, and the gates of hell come forth on the earth. But God in His mercy opens a door in heaven. So there's a door to both dimensions being opened. It just depends on which one are we going to go through. And a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. So imagine there's hell on earth. There's a dimension where hell is being unleashed upon the people. But God opens a door to His elect. Amen. And we can come right up to the throne. And we can see things that are and things that are to be. Friends, what a privilege God has given unto us in this kind of an age. Let's bow our heads once again. Father, we thank You for Your word. But Father, how we thank You for the fulfillment of Your word. And Father, we had come once again as always and just say unto Thee, be it unto us according to this word. Father, let it be as when Paul, Father, when the ship was about to be wrecked, and Lord, You gave him the vision and You said there'll be not one of them lost. Father, let it be so from amongst us, we'd ask and we'd pray, Lord, just Your grace, Your mercy. That Father, each and every one of us would avail of the opportunity that You've given unto us while it's yet time. May You grant us that grace. Bless Your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I just quoted something on Friday. You know, just on Friday we started speaking about these birth pains that we see in the earth now. And the one big birth pain which we see really unfolding itself is these plagues. You know, I was saying when you study this Ebola virus, it's a scary thing. You know, it's a real sad thing to see something like that striking men and women and children and, you know, an upheaval in society and schools all being closed and, you know, communities being shut down and just the whole fabric of society falling apart. And those type of crisis, unfortunately, they bring out the best in people and also brings out the worst in people. And you'll just see the inhumanity that people will show to one another. Like we said, and you know, a mother and a father dying in a home with Ebola, and none of the relatives wanting to help the children because of their fear of that disease as well. And the children being stranded. And that's just so sad to see the things that are coming upon the earth. And these things, we read a lot of it on Friday, what the prophet said about the plagues and about the plagues and the judgment and the storms that are going to come upon the earth. And we see it. We're living right in the time of the birth pains of these things. We don't, by the grace of God, nobody who's in Christ, really in Christ, will see the fullness of those things. Because Christ is the atonement for us. He's God's provided way. But we're clearly seeing, as time goes by, more and more of these birth pains. And they're becoming more and more severe each year. Now, I just was looking this week. Brother Tommy asked me this evening to go and speak to them a little bit about something. And I was just having a look what's happened just in the last few months. You know, we were speaking about those blood moons. And the first one came at Passover, which was in April. And just the amount of things that have happened in the earth since then. The first thing that happened was Israel and their war in Gaza. And you just find the whole world. You find Britain, the parliament, voting for the Palestinians last week, voting against Israel. And the whole attitude of the world turning against the natural seed of Abraham, those that are the heirs of the promise, turning towards the seed of the bondwoman, which is Ishmael. And the world loves to do that kind of a thing. And we see Israel getting themselves in trouble. And then straight from there in July, we found the rise of ISIS. We found just another level of torment that's been released upon the earth. Another level of something. And we saw on Friday, I said it, that man in the United Nations calls it a plague. He says, we've got these twin plagues that have struck us, ISIS and Ebola. And they called them plagues. And I said, you know, that's real strange that these people will pick up that kind of a terminology, that they'll see that these things are not just natural events. And then the big man in the United Nations, another man was saying this last week, he said, you know, we're living in a time that's really fearful. And the Bible says men's hearts failing them for fear, for the fear of these things that shall come upon the earth. But Jesus said to us, but at that time, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. No, so there's always this contrast. We're living in the time of mercy and judgment. We're living in a time where the great judgment angel himself, Christ, he comes down in the cloud and he looks down to his bride and he says, Shalom. But to the world, he says, gross darkness is upon the people. You know, so it's such a contrast of dimensions in this day. And it's pressing us to the time now that we have to make a choice. That which of these worlds are we going to be partakers of? Are we going to be partakers of this, which this curse is coming upon, this atmosphere, this belief, this world system, which Satan has been perfecting, the Satan's Eden? Or are we really, really going to be citizens of another kingdom? Are we really, really going to be citizens and take advantage of the benefits of the kingdom that God has unveiled and unsealed and opened access to us in this age? Now, it's really coming to that stage now that you're either going to be in or you're going to be out. It's as it was in the days of Noah. You know, the door's going to be shut. And he who's filthy is going to be filthy still. And he who's righteous is going to be righteous still. And it's getting closer and closer to that time. None of us have the authority to close the door. Now, there's many people who say that mercy is already finished. None of us have authority to say anything like that. That's in the hands of God. But as long as God's Spirit is still crying out in the hearts of people, and people are still seeking for mercy and seeking for grace, that means the way to the mercy seat is still open. And I think we need to really come to a realization, to be convinced enough that we really be concerned in this kind of a time. Because as we said on Friday, we've heard these things so many times until to certain people, it's become like a song. That's what it was when I think the Lord sent Jeremiah to the people and he warned them. And he says, the people aren't going to listen because what you're saying to them has become like a song. You know, it's not going to affect them. I don't think we want, in this kind of a time, prophetic truth and the grace that God has revealed to us to become something that we get used to. But I would say we want to get closer to him and further from the world so that that prophetic voice that cries out in this age to us, that it has the effect in us that God desired it to have. And that's the reason that he sent it to us. That mighty angel, when he cried with a loud voice, then he says, come out of her, my people. Friends, what good is it to sit in a church and we preach those things and then we're not coming out of these things? Now, we still love Hollywood and we love the music of the world and the fashions of the world and so forth. It means we haven't really heard the voice behind the voice. You know, like we've heard and we can, you know, quote certain things and say certain things. But that word, that spiritual impact hasn't hit the real place in our experience that it should hit. Because when it really strikes you as a revelation, you're born out of one system and you're born into another. And you never want to go back into that old system once again. And that's really the kind of time that we're living in. You know, we see also this Ebola virus now from July striking the nations now. And it's a fearful thing. Yes, they'll put it under control, I'm sure, in the end. But it's speaking to us of something. There's a voice behind these things. The prophet told us the judgments of God already in the earth. And we see that. And then just these last couple of weeks now, they speak of the trembling of the economies once again. And we're just speaking of it a few weeks back as we enter into the seventh year. We don't put dates and years, but it's just an amazing thing that the big economist on Friday, I quoted on Friday, he says, we're seeing the same symptoms as we saw 7 years ago. You know, we just see an uncertainty and the stock market going down and up and down, and it's taken a big slide since September, they say. And they say all the confidence is going out once again. You know, I would say, friends, if we need to pay heed to these things. I would say just as much as Jesus says, when you see these things begin to pass, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And I would say, like Revelation chapter 4 says there, we need to heed that voice that says, come up higher. No, we need to respond as John responded, yield ourselves. And we need to come up higher out of the confusion of this age and out of all the enticement and the temptation that Satan has made. And we need to rise up above these things like John did at the end of Laodicea, Revelation 3. And chapter 4, verse 1, he's told, come up higher, and he's raised up. And he sees the seals, and he sees the Lamb, and he sees the throne, and it's revealed to him what's going to come upon the earth, the vials and the plagues and the trumpets and all those things. Now, God hasn't put those things there for nothing. Every one of these things he gives and he reveals in his season for a divine purpose. Because God doesn't want you and I to be partakers of these plagues. God doesn't want anybody to become partaker of these things. And that's why he's going to send his warning before judgment. That's why in the message, warning then judgment, I'll just read this quote. We quoted it on Friday, but just the way the prophet says it. He says, a prophet foresees way off the things that is coming. He sees the cup of God's wrath full before it's filled. You see, and that's why if you go and read, I've got it, I'll read a few quotes from The Token, 1963. If you read The Token, if you were there, you would have thought the prophet was saying, now, you better get in now. He was crying out, and he was. But the prophet says, the prophet sees the cup of God's wrath filled before it's filled. You see, now if we take this message now, it's far more relevant to us now than it was to the people that he preached it to in 1963. That message, some of these messages were like time-locked. That the prophet went up in that realm of vision and the Lord spoke to him and he came down and he brought, thus saith the Lord, and stored it away. And now the events are catching up and the time is catching up. And now we take those things and we can say, this day the scripture is fulfilled. But you don't want to just look at the scripture that's fulfilled. You want to look at, you know, are we doing what the prophet cried out for us to do? You know, is this message having an effect upon us the way that it should have an effect upon us? Because this is a message of grace. That's what it is. It's a message of grace unto us. So he says, the prophet, he looks way off there and he sees that cup of wrath poured out. That's what the prophets look at. He isn't looking what's going on here. He's looking yonder and he's saying, it's a coming. And friends, he was saying in 63, it's a coming, and now we see that it's here. And that's the amazing thing to me. You know, I can see how the devil deceives people. Just at the time when you can see the reality of what the prophet saw and prophesied and spoke of, there comes a whole thing that people are trying to fight against the message. I don't understand that. That's the greatest deception of the devil that there can ever be. Now you sit in a message church for 20, 30 years when those signs are not yet as real as they can be and you say you believe the message. And then when the earth moves into the cycle that you can really hear the thunder like Noah did, you can really, really see an oncoming judgment and it's pending. At that kind of a time, the devil tricks you and takes you away from the very thing that God has sent to give you an immunity from those things in your age. God's very antidote, his very cure, the very thing that he knows that his people need at that time, the devil tricks you and takes you away. Friends, I don't want that ever to happen to me. But as it gets closer and closer, I want to get closer and closer. I want to shut myself in like the Lord said. He says, shut yourself in your chambers until my wrath be overpassed. That's what he said in the scripture. And I want to be like those people with the blood on the door. You know, and if there's just a little bit of blood's going to do the job, I want to put a lot of blood to make sure. I don't want to be one of those kinds of people, you know, that you just want to just like sneak in the back door. I hope I'm the last one to come in. I don't want to be like that. I want to be in now. I want to be in before the things take place. I want to make sure that I'm sure that I know that between me and him, the token has been applied. The divine requirement has been met. I've accepted his pardoning grace in this kind of a time. That's how the prophet says it isn't here yet. But it'll sure be here. That's right. It's going to be here. He knows it's coming years away. Yet he sees it. And that's why God sends a prophet. Why does God send a prophet to an age? What is a prophet? A prophet is a super sign. The prophet preached the message, a true sign that's overlooked. You go and look in the Christian world, they're looking at all these different signs that are taking place in the heavens. They're looking at all these other things. And yes, there's some interesting things in there. But you miss the real sign. Because a prophet is a sign of an oncoming judgment. Always when a prophet comes on the scene, it's at the end of it, the prophet says. The eagle age always comes at the end, as it was in the days of Noah. When you see Noah coming on the scene, it was a sign to that age. It was a sign. And why does God send a prophet? Because he knows he's got to open a dimension to his people because judgment is about to come upon the earth. So God has to send a prophet to open up, to minister an entrance to his people into Goshen before the plagues come falling upon Egypt. God's got to send a prophet to prepare an ark unto the saving of his people before the rain falls upon the ungodly, the world of the ungodly. And if people could just recognize and realize it, that the prophet's come and gone. 50 years now, next year the prophet's gone. But he left us the message to minister an entrance to his people into Goshen. And the prophet says, you better get to Goshen while there's time to get to Goshen. Because once the plagues start falling, listen how he says it in the token message. He says, notice, they were redeemed. They put the blood on the door. Before there was anything that ever happened. See, that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to wait until we see things. And then we start to react. That's not faith. You're not hearing from the spiritual realm if you have to wait to see physical things before you start to act. That's not faith, that's sight. But when you can hear from the realm of the unseen, you're going to see things before they come to pass. It's going to be real to you. Something's going to be declaring itself to you that hasn't yet been made manifest, but yet it's real to you before it happens. And that's going to affect the way that you behave. That's going to affect your whole worldview, the way you look at the world, the way that you look at everything. I was at work on Friday, and the boss, we just bought a new building, and we're expanding the company and so forth, and everyone's really excited about, you know, the growth in the company and all that. And I felt like one of the disciples in Jerusalem, you know, maybe about AD 66 or 67, you know. And you know, but these things are doomed. It's good, yes, we must plant our potatoes, we must just live one day at a time. But you can never look at things the way that other people look at things. People be looking and saying, you know, the economy is recovering and things are going well and it's going to be back to good times once again. And you wish and you hope and pray that it would be for a season. But you know inside of yourself, it's not going to be like that. It's just a matter of time. You know it. But what declares that to you that doesn't declare it to them? Is God has ministered an entrance to you through a message of the hour into the secret place of the Most High. He's ministered a place to you that you can have the mind of Christ, that you can see things the way that God sees them, that you can look at things the way that God looks at things. Friend, that is a great honor. When the Lord came down to Abram and says, shall I hide from Abraham the things that I'm about to do? Imagine God has done the same to you and I. He comes down in this age and he says, shall I hide from my sons and my daughters the things that I'm about to do? Friends, although Abraham was living out there, and it wasn't that easy. And there, Lot and Mrs. Lot were living in all the comfort down there in Sodom. But friends, look what happened at the end. You know, what really came out in that age? You'd rather stay with the Lord's despised few. That's the thing that you really desire. So the prophet says, before there was anything happened, by faith, they applied the blood. You see, before it actually happened, the blood was applied by faith, believing that it was going to happen. And he says, before the wrath of God passed through the land, the blood had to be applied first. And friends, that's a time that we're living in now. The blood has to be applied. It can't just be spoken of. We can't just fellowship about it. We can't just speak around it. But it's got to be applied. And the prophet says, that's the message of the hour. The blood has to be applied before the wrath goes forth. He says, we've come up through justification and so forth. But this is the time the token has to be applied. I told you last Sunday, I had something I wanted to talk to you about. This is it. The time when you can't just play with it. It's got to be done. If it's ever going to be done, it's got to be done now. Because we can see that the wrath is about ready to pass through the land. Everything from under that token will perish. Friends, everything from under this provided way is going to perish. No matter how sincere we are, no matter what we can speak of that we did this, that, and the other. But God opens something to his people when it comes to this kind of a time. And you've got to avail yourself of that grace that God opens up to you. Then finally it says, therefore, as the evening shadows are appearing, and the wrath is ready to be poured out from on high upon the ungodly nations. Are we not seeing it?
Yes.
Look at Russia, the king of the north, causing such a fuss in the world. That's all happened just in the last few months. Friends, this world has taken a serious turn for the worst. It's taken a turn. And if you can hear from heaven, there's something telling you inside of your soul, draw nigh. Come up higher. Draw nigh unto the mercy seat. Remember we saw when Abraham, when the Lord came and revealed to him the cry of Sodom, this atmosphere is too bad now. The cup is full. My wrath's about to be poured out. Abraham drew near. That's what it says. Abraham drew near. And he started now to make an intercession unto the Lord. He started to use the privileged access that had been ministered to him. And he started to make intercession for Lot. Intercession for his family. He started to use his friendship with God at that time. And I believe that's the cycle we're moving into, friends. You know, I don't think we want to be like we're saying people. That when the crisis comes, even if sickness strikes your home, sickness strikes your body, crisis strikes you financially, you don't want at that kind of a time to be trying to learn, how do I get to the throne of grace? You don't want to be trying at that kind of a time to find an access. You want to have been living in a realm where you know how to find access. Where you've been going day by day to the throne of grace. That you know the way. That you know your God. Then it doesn't matter what comes upon you. Doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. Doesn't matter what the Lord allows to come. Once you know your way to the throne of grace, everything is going to be okay. And that's what you really, really desire in this kind of a time. You don't want to be relying upon somebody else's prayer. That was the foolish virgin. They relied on the other people's oil. You don't want to be relying on other people's oil. At this kind of a time, you want to get the oil in your lamp. The prophet says, those wise virgins said, you need to go and pray up and get oil in your lamps. And friends, it's a praying up time now. It's a praying up and a praying through time. Until you know that you know in your soul that all is well. That Jehovah's requirement, Jehovah's grace has been met in your experience. That you're not falling short. You may fall short in other things in this life. But that's not something that you want to fall short of. The prophet says, my jacket may not match my trousers. He says, but as long as my experience matches God's Bible, that's the most important thing to me. And friends, at this kind of a time, even as Brother Msimange preached, we need to be checking up, friends, to make sure that our experience matches what's required in this age. Because God has done all that he can as he preached to us. He's now waiting on us. He's given us everything we've needed. He's ministered access. He's ministered us grace. He's put his anointing on the message of his coming. He's given us everything that we need. But friends, it's got to come a time that we apply it. We've got to apply the token. It's got to be no longer just hearing about the token, but as individuals, before the wrath comes forth, before the fullness of these plagues starts being poured forth, because it's going to happen, friends. The same John who saw the seven church ages. The same John who saw the opening of the seals. The same John saw the pouring forth of the vials. It's thus saith the Lord. It's already come to pass in heavenly places. Because it's a substance that John already has experienced and came down to earth. And came and the Lord commissioned him to write it in a book. And he delivered it unto us. And friends, that's the age that we're living in. But you want to be applying this token. You want to make sure that you know your way to the throne of grace. The prophet says we're living in the shadows. And the wrath is ready to strike. And God is requiring a token that you yourself have received his token, the Holy Ghost. That you yourself have received what God has provided by his grace in this end time. this token that came into existence in the evening time. Listen to what he says in God's Provided Way of Healing in Chicago, 1954. Let me pass something out quickly. Listen, did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days there'll be a germ warfare? My, a germ warfare? No, they were saying ISIS already has captured chemical weapons, if you saw this week, and they've used it against the Kurds. They went into Iraq and they found the chemical weapons and they've used them against the Kurds. And so many people in America are fearing and saying, even the government saying they, all these ISIS people that are infiltrating through Mexico into America because there's no patrolling of the borders there. They say it's a very big possibility one of these days someone will explode a dirty bomb in America, in a city in America. Friends, it's a fearful time. Amen. And the prophet spoke of these kinds of times. And one of these days we're going to speak of it for the last time. Amen. And then prophecy is going to become history. Because they spoke of the coming of the Messiah, that he's going to come on a donkey and your king cometh unto thee. And they spoke of it for 700 years after Isaiah prophesied about it. And then one day the prophecy became history. And now we're speaking of a history. And the same Isaiah that saw his first coming saw his second coming. The woes that shall strike the nations, the prophet said. And friends, it's going to come to pass. But before it comes to pass, God ministers grace to his people. The prophet says, diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So can you see the immunity, the inoculation, the requirement required to overcome in this age? It's a spiritual inoculation. It's a spiritual immunity that we need. It's not a natural something. You can go to the doctor, he can give you inoculation, you won't get certain kinds of diseases. God sends a prophet at the end of the age. And he sends him with a message. And that message has a token which backs it up. And you've got to apply that token, which is the life of the Lamb himself. And that is the only thing that can withstand God's wrath, is the life of the Lamb. Because he's already endured the wrath of God upon the cross. The price has already been paid. The plagues of judgment were poured out upon Christ on our behalf. And so you've got to make sure that that life that was in him, that life is in you. Because that's the only thing that will stand in this time. He says diseases will break out on the people. But the angel who had charge over these plagues was given orders to touch no one upon whom the seal was. Hallelujah. So those that were sealed away before the plagues come forth, there was a commission from the throne. Hurt not the oil and the wine. Touch not the oil and the wine. Do not come near them that have been sealed away. Friends, it's a serious thing. It's a serious hour that we're living in. But Satan, how he entices us, like he enticed Samson with Delilah, until we fall asleep, not knowing the severity of the hour that we're living in. And Samson was sleeping at a time that he shouldn't have been sleeping. Because the Philistines were amassing against him. No, he should have been getting that anointing upon his Nazarite gift at that time. He shouldn't have been playing around with the world. He should have been checking up to make sure what sort of a condition I'm in. I was born for a purpose. I was born for such an hour like this. How do I stand in my Nazarite commission before the Lord? What about my Nazarite vow? Am I keeping the terms of my Nazarite vow? What about this Nazarite gift that is given unto me? Am I being faithful with this Nazarite gift? But instead of that, he was playing with the world, playing with Delilah. And friends, it cost him a lot. It cost him a lot. Because now when the Philistines came upon him and he said, I'll shake myself like at other times. The Bible says he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. I don't want to be found in that kind of a condition, friends. That when these plagues want to strike your home and you need to make intercession unto the great angel that God has sent and given charge over us to make sure that he sees us safely home. You don't want to, at that kind of a time, have something between your soul and your Savior. Amen. You don't have to be seeking mercy to ask for forgiveness and grace at that kind of a time when you're needing to call upon the heavens, to call down the judgment of God upon what the devil's trying to do in your life or in the life of your family. You want to make sure, friends, that at this kind of a time that you're walking with the Lord, that you're walking faithful in the line of duty, because God is faithful to them that are true in the line of duty. Amen. He's responsible to you. He says he will keep you in his ways. Just walk in his ways and he'll keep you. So the prophet says, He was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was. He's speaking of the seal. Then he says, my, how much, what kind of teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church in order to be in that condition? Then he says, immune. He says, what kind of teachers do we need to be to bring each individual to the place that we're immune from these things? Hallelujah. It means that when God sends a message, God's bringing an immunity. God is coming to minister the immunity to you because His judgment, His wrath is about to be poured out upon the earth. And you want to just make sure, friend, that you've applied that immunity in these kind of times. Now, He's speaking about the church and its condition there. Now, what is a prophet, friends? What is a prophet sent for? A prophet is sent as an angel, a messenger, to stand in the gap between dimensions. That's what he's sent for. So when you see a prophet coming on the scene, he's going to open the door to another world. He's going to be used as a vessel to open up access to another dimension. Because when this dimension starts going the way that it's going now, God looks down at his people and he knows, my people, they don't need to live in this dimension. They don't need to be governed by this dimension with these plagues and judgment and this unclean, a cage of all unclean and hateful birds, a poisonous atmosphere, poisonous spiritual condition, spiritual death, the prophet said in the lands. So God sends a prophet down now and he opens up another dimension. Listen to what he says in the message, looking for Jesus. He says, now what is a seer? What is a prophet? What is a vision? He says, it's another dimension. Then he says, and speak to this rock. He says, as the meetings go by each night, the anointing begins to get very deep. If you understand, and you break into another dimension. So here God first sends a prophet under the first and second pool and gives him this special token anointing. An evening time anointing, a special anointing that hasn't been seen through the seven church ages. Amen. This ministry of the Son of Man gives him this anointing. And as the prophet yields to the anointing, the prophet can break into another dimension. Amen. And God proves it in the first pull and the second pull. When he takes people by the hand, Amen. Then he breaks into the realm of discernment. And God is proving this man can break into these dimensions. Amen. He can see into the unseen realm. Hallelujah. Then he can come back and communicate to us in this realm of the seen. But why does God do that? God's not just doing it for the prophet. God is showing us that we need in this age to break into another dimension. Amen. That there's a certain place that we can live as believers. That's why I read it on Friday, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. That's a serious dimension. But God has to send a message to minister an entrance to people. And if you yield to that anointing on that message, if you apply that message, apply that token in your age, you'll break forth into another dimension as well. And you'll start seeing things the way the prophet saw them. And you'll start seeing this age the way that God sees this age. And you won't want to go and see Lady Gaga singing on Friday or Saturday, whatever it was. Because you will see she's a messenger of hell. That's what she is. She's born of hell, anointed of hell. She's a messenger of hell. And she's ministering the young people of this generation into that dimension. That dimension of hell that's been emptied out upon the earth. The prophet said Satan wanted to invade America. In the 1900s, early 1900s, he had looked through America. He says the ministry was still standing. It was after Azusa Street. So what did he do? He said he chose himself a place called Hollywood. And Hollywood, if you go and see, it was formed, it was born in 1903. Just at the beginning of this last age, Laodicea, Azusa Street, 1906. A prophet is born, 1909. You see, Satan's preparing his instrumentality of hell to minister this age into a Sodom condition, as it was in the days of Lot. He's anointing, he's raising his messengers, he's training his ministers, the devil, in Hollywood. And God's raising up his vessel now at the same time. And he's going to anoint him. And God's going to send him forth. What for? To open another dimension to his people. And then we're going to be in one of these dimensions, friends. And the prophet says, as we get closer and closer to the end, you're either going to have the seal of God or you're going to have the mark of the beast. There's going to be nothing else that you're going to be able to have. You're going to have to make your choice. You're going to have to make your choice. I'm glad I made my choice 30 years ago. And I've never regretted that choice for a day. Never regretted that choice. There's nothing sweeter than serving Jesus. There's nothing better than the message of the hour. We just wish we had more time just to hide ourselves in that dimension. When you put on those tapes, friends, when you read these books, if you prayed up and you got no sin in your life, you get in another dimension. That puts you in another spirit. It's an immunity from these plagues and this dimension that we're living in. But what I fear for is our young people, they haven't gone into this dimension enough. No, they've just tasted and they know, I think these things are true, yes, but. And you just wish, like the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see for yourself. Give it an opportunity to bring an immunity to you. Be serious about it for a season, a space of time. Seek Him with all your heart. Get into these messages. Come and ask, what should I listen to? What should I read? Get together in fellowship with the praying people in the church just for a season. And I guarantee you, you will start to fellowship with another dimension. And when you start fellowshipping with that dimension, friends, this dimension, you don't want it no more. You don't want it anymore. When you're at work, when you're doing your things, you can't wait for the time where you can shut yourself in. Sweet hour of prayer. So you can span dimensions once again. So you can get yourself into a spiritual place where spiritual things become real unto you once again. Friends, that's the age and the hour that we're living in. And that's why God sends a prophet, because a prophet, God anoints him and he breaks into another dimension. That's why Noah would come 120 years before the event. And God would anoint him and Noah would break into that dimension and he would be right there. And Noah would be seeing the flood. And he'd be seeing the ark. And hearing the dimensions of God's provided way for that age. And he'd be seeing the thunder and seeing the oncoming storms and hearing the cries of the people and seeing God's judgment being poured forth upon the earth 120 years before it happened. And Noah comes down from that dimension. The Bible says, we said on Friday, being moved by fear. And he comes down and starts preaching a message from that dimension to his family. And there's an anointing on that message. And here's Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they submit themselves to that message. And they break into that dimension. Not the same as the prophet. They don't go and see the actual vision. But they receive a spiritual reality through the message of Noah that gives them an immunity. And then now they find themselves cutting down wood. And they find themselves at their post of duty, sawing and planing and whatever it is, and the people are coming and the mockers and the scoffers and telling them, you're wasting your youth. Come and have a good time with us. When has it ever rained upon the earth? People have been saying these things for years, but they had an immunity. They weren't convinced into it. No one persuaded them into it. It was a divine revelation. Their souls had tapped into another dimension through the message of Noah, and it had such a spiritual impact upon them that the critics and the scoffers and the mockers for 120 years, as the world went deeper and deeper into unbelief, couldn't move them. That's real believers, friends. Really, they were consistent. Whenever it was a Wednesday and Noah said, let's come and build, they were there on a Wednesday. When it was a Friday, let's come and build some more on God's provided way. When it was a Sunday, they were there. You can tell it in the lives of people, friends. You know, you don't want to be doing it grudgingly, friends. You don't want your mother and your father to be forcing you to come along to the message of the hour. There's no immunity in that. But you want to come yourself to a time that you say, but why do they love these things so much? What makes them so enthused about these things? Why have they poured their lives into these things? Let me go and see for myself. And you approach it like Moses approached the burning bush, and something's going to start speaking to you as well. When you turn aside to see, something's going to start declaring itself to you. And as long as you're willing to take off your shoes and approach it on holy ground, God's going to unveil his mind. He's going to unveil his thoughts. And he's going to change you until you are a coward like Moses running away before. And you're going to go down with a stick in your hand to face up to the superpower of the day. That was the difference it made when he broke into that dimension. And friends, we need to spend as much time as we can in that kind of a realm. Because that's the day that we're living in. The prophet says in testimony of Jesus Christ, he says, it's something that I can't explain. It seems it's over the building hanging here. It seems like a milky haze all over the building. That was that dimension which was brought down by the people's faith. He says, that's in another dimension that people know very little of. But God lives in that place. So he could see this dimension where God lives coming down and intermingling with this world which we live. Don't you want that? When you open your Bible, do you want it just to be you reading your Bible? Don't you want that dimension to come down and commune and fellowship with you? That you're sharing from the voice from the supernatural place. You know, the Biscuit sisters sang that song about the voice from the supernatural place. I always like that. You want to hear that voice from the supernatural place. What changed Samuel in his day? The voice from the supernatural place. Something declaring it, so speaking his name. Samuel, Samuel. And at first he didn't understand what it meant. And then the ministry had to tell him what to do. The prophet had to tell him, when it speaks to you like this, this is what you need to do. And then Samuel responded, and that's when the Lord started to unveil his thoughts, unveil his purposes, and commissioned him and sent him forth. Friends, something happens when you hear from that spiritual place. In manifestation of the resurrection, he says, it's a vision. And when the vision breaks, it's going into another world. To the scientists, it's another dimension. It's another world, friends. You can live in two worlds at the same time.
Yes.
You can live in the world of faith. You can live in the world of the kingdom of God, where everything is under control, where everything makes sense, where there's peace like unto a river. Or you can live in this world. Now, the Bible says we're in this world, but you're not of this world. There's times you've got to come down, you've got to transact business in this world. But to a genuine believer, you want to be in that world. And God has a particular way of admitting entrance into that world. And we have to go His provided way. He says in the message, at thy word, Lord, he says, just be reverent. Now, if the anointing will strike me, it puts me in another dimension. To the scientists, it's another dimension. To you Christians, it's in the spirit. So getting in the spirit, we're getting in another dimension. We're getting in another world. Ah, friends, it's a nice place to be. It's a nice place to be. What is the separation? When he breaks forth something, shows a vision, just something. I'm in another dimension to the scientists. It's the sixth sense. It's the fourth dimension. Whatever you want to call it. To me, it's the Holy Spirit. When I'm surrendered. You see, because God will release something which he knows that his people need or are going to need. And all he wants his people to do is to submit to that which is released. Submit and yield themselves. Then finally he says, in faith of Abraham, he says to the Christian, it's another sphere of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Ghost that saved you as a young convert, it's just yielding yourself to Him. So that same Holy Ghost that came and convicted you of your sin and led you to the waters of baptism, He says it's just another sphere of that same Spirit. It's just yielding yourself and following the leadership of that Spirit, being sensitive and following Him, and He leads you deeper and deeper and deeper into another world, into another dimension, to the place where God dwells. And I'm sure that's where you want to be. Now, I'll read this quote from the token as well. Listen what he says about down there in Egypt that day. When Moses came and he said, death is going to strike the nation. There was a serious night, friends. No, in that dimension was going to get so, so real that the death angel would be able to manifest himself. And Moses came and he told the people, I've heard from God. You've got to apply the token. But he says in the token, Dallas, he says, the token was the thing that made the difference between Egypt and Israel.
Amen.
It's not your knowledge. Amen. It's not the way you dress, although we must dress different. It's good to do that. But the death angel doesn't worry about those things. The death angel's not looking at how you dress. The death angel is looking, is there blood?
Hallelujah.
Is there a token?
Amen.
Is there life?
Hallelujah.
Is there life there that's more powerful than my life?
Amen.
Is there an anointing in that soul that can overcome me? Because the devil is an anointing as well.
Amen.
The prophet says, they were all human beings, the Egyptians and Israel and Goshen. All God created. They were all the handiwork of God. But the difference when the death penalty was passed, The difference between life and death was the token. You see, there came a certain junction in time. God first sent his prophet to bring a message, to minister his people to safety. Then God came with a death penalty. He proclaimed a death penalty upon Egypt. And that's what those plagues are, friends. That's what the tribulation period is. God will declare a death penalty. He said, this is now sin unto death. There's no more mercy. But before he does that, he ministers people into Goshen. Whosoever will, his children, his sons, and his daughters, when the death penalty is passed, he ministers grace to them. The prophet says, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of God. When he brings his bride out of the church, the difference will be the token. Listen close this afternoon. The token will be the difference. There's got to be a difference. Friends, there's got to be a difference in your life. You've got to be different than the rest of the people in this age. You've got to be different in your life. In your life. In the way that you look at things. The way you approach things. In the way you handle things. The way that you conduct things. We've got to be different. If there's another life in us, we've got to be different. That's what the prophet's saying. It's an age that we're living in. You know, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. Let's just read that in Luke 17. Luke 17, because it's such a type of our day once again. But look how Jesus gives us the warning in Luke chapter 17. Verse 30. He says, and in verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, that it eat and they drank and so forth. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And then he gives us a further warning. Look what he says in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Amen. Then he gets to the rapture. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Amen. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Amen. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. He says, but Lord, where will this be that one is two in a bed and one goes and one stays? He says, where the eagles gather. That's why you've got to be careful, because Mrs. Lot used to gather with the eagles. Mrs. Lot, she had such a privilege. She was the wife of Lot. And Lot was the nephew of the prophet messenger of the age. Of a man who God said, he's my friend. Imagine you have such a privilege like that. And Mrs. Lot would come and sit in the camp of Abraham, because Lot was with Abraham for quite some time before they separated themselves. And Mrs. Lot would sit there and hear all of the stories, all the testimonies that Abraham would be telling. Would share about his strange birth and whatever it was, and how he was separated from the Tower of Babel, and how God spoke to him, and all the promises and so forth. And friends, Mrs. Lot would sit there service after service after service. And she perished. Where, Lord? Where the eagles were gathering. Two taken. Lot came out. Mrs. Lot perished in the burning of Sodom. It's a serious thing to think about when Jesus speaks of our day. As it was in the days of Lot. He also says, remember Mrs. Lot. Remember Lot's wife. It's a serious thing to think about. That's why it's not just having access that does you any good. It's using that access. It's not just God revealing something. It's you applying what God has revealed. That makes all the difference. And the prophet says there's got to be a difference. There has to be a difference. And God will give you all that you need to make the difference. He's not going to make you manufacture something. God ministers us all the resources that we need. But we've got to apply the things. We've got to make sure that you're not like Mrs. Lot. The Bible, speaking of Lot, if you think of him, it says in 2 Peter, it says, just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot was a righteous man. Lot wasn't an unbeliever. He was a virgin. He was a righteous man. What was his mistake? God came down in that day. What was the day? Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. It was the day of Babel, friends. Nimrod and uniting the people and all of that. And God sent a prophet, Abraham. That's why the prophet always says seven letters ending in Ham. You see, what was God doing? When Satan was perfecting his Eden there at Babel, uniting the people, he had his Nimrod, who had raised up the mighty hunter of the souls of men in that day. God separated a man, first of all, one man, by speaking to him, a prophet. And God opened a dimension that hadn't been opened up to there, to this prophet. And God came down and spoke to that prophet and separated him, sent him to the land of promise. And that dimension opened up in that age. While the other dimension was getting darker and darker and darker because of that influence of Babel, the king of Babel in that day, God opens another dimension to his people, to the elect. And here Lot, he finds himself amongst the elect. He's sitting there day by day. They say to him, "Brother Lot, do you believe this message? How can I not believe this message? Abraham's my uncle." That means nothing at all. Amen. The proof of whether you believe this message is your life. Amen. It's your life. It's your life on a daily basis when things are good and things are bad. That's the proof that you believe this message. That's the only proof. There's no other proof. A tree is known by its fruits, friends. You can't bring evil fruits from a good tree. If you love the music of the world, there's still something corrupt inside of there. Because you can't bring evil fruit from a good tree. There still needs to be some kind of a change of system inside of there. Listen what the prophet says about Mrs. Lot when he speaks about this change of dimensions. He says, in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, it says, "The Bible said, come out of them and be ye separate." That's our day. Amen. See, you're not of that. Why will God pull us out of something if we belong in there? We don't belong there. Amen. That's when the new nature comes into you. Then you don't have to be pulled out. How did Mrs. Lot come out of Sodom? They had to pull her out. Amen. They pulled her out. She didn't want to go out. Amen. They were pulling her every Sunday to church. Pulling her every Wednesday. You don't want to be pulled in this kind of a time, friends. You want to feel the pull. You want to respond to the pull. That's what you want to do. You want to hear that voice from the supernatural place. And you want to free will submit yourself to that voice. It's the most glorious thing. The prophet says, then a new nature comes into you. You don't have to be pulled out. You don't want to go back like Lot's wife. You're born out of it and you're in another dimension. She was never born into that other dimension. She sat in the camp of Abraham. Imagine. When all the things would take place and God would visit Abraham. And the things that God did for Abraham. And that dimension was there. God was fellowshipping with his servant Abraham. In that camp where Mrs. Lot was sitting. But she sat there and she sat there and she sat there and she never was ministered into another dimension. Yeah. She never moved from that dimension into the other dimension. Amen. Therefore, she never had her nature changed. Her heart was still in Sodom. Yes. She hungered and thirsted after those things. And that's why Jesus gives the warning, remember Lot's wife. Amen. Because when we look at Lot, what was the influencing factor? If Jesus is saying, remember Lot's wife, obviously, Lot's wife had a big part to play in this entire big story. There was too much of an influence of Lot's wife in the spiritual walk of Lot. There must have been. Too much pressure. How can we live out here? Who are our daughters going to marry? All these 300 young servants of Abraham, they're just shepherd boys. Our daughters were born for a better class of people than this. That's what she would have been saying. I'm telling you one thing, friend. You'll never find a better class of people than the sons and daughters of God. Yeah. Never. You'll never have a greater blessing than if your son or your daughter marry a message believer. God will never give you a greater blessing for your son and your daughter apart from salvation than to give them a good wife, a good husband from the message of the hour. But maybe Mrs. Lot was like that. She's saying, these guys don't even bath. There was no water out there. We were in Hebron with Brother George when he went to Israel. The plains of Mamre, where Abraham used to live. It's a dry place, friends. It's a hot and a dry place. And here he's got his 318 young men born in his house. And here's Mrs. Lot, and she's looking at all these young men saying, no, I want my daughters to marry a better class of people than this. And then she hears about the camel trains from Egypt going down there into Sodom, bringing all the new fashions and the silk and all those kind of things. And she's not born in the right dimension. She's still of this world. She's not of the world that she could have been in through a prophet coming with a message. And she's hungering and thirsting. And then she starts now with Lot. Lot, we don't have to go into Sodom. Let's just go and live near Sodom. Like we always say, it's like saying, I'll just get a television to watch the news. Yeah, I'll just watch the news. It always starts just with the news, and it doesn't stop with the news. And that's what it was with Abraham. With Lot. The Bible says they pitched their tent towards Sodom. Then the next chapter says he's living in Sodom. He's no longer a pilgrim in this world anymore. He's now bought a house with foundations. He's a citizen. He sits in the city gates. He's the mayor of the city. Whose influence was that? I believe it was Mrs. Lot. Mrs. Lot loved the world and the things of the world. And she didn't want to associate with that kind of a people. It's too hard up there, Abraham. And it's dry and it's hard. And you know, we don't have a liberty up there. Now the people down in Sodom, they worship as well. But they have a liberty. They can dress the way that they want to dress. They can do whatever they want to do. That's the atmosphere of Sodom. And friends, if you still hunger and thirst for makeup and you hunger and thirst for all those kind of things, you need to spend more time in another dimension. You need to spend more time. I don't want to go and put on my old short trousers anymore like I used to wear in Zimbabwe. I don't want to do that. Why do I want to do that? I don't want to dress like the world. I don't want to put an earring in my ear. I don't want to color my hair different colors. There's no thirst in me to do that. And you'll say, is that how you feel? And that's how I felt when I received the message when I was 18 years old. I was young when I received the message. And the message, the impact, the spiritual revelation of the message was so powerful. We were born out of that world and into another. I was in apartheid South Africa when I got the message. The only believers were in the colored township. We used to go and worship in the colored township. What is that? That dimension was real. To me, that dimension was real. The rest of society looked at me and thought I'd gone crazy. When we were with Brother George and them, and I was the only white person 10 years in our church. And the whole of the white community of our town thought I'd gone mad. They couldn't understand what was going on. It never bothered me one bit. It never affected me. Why? Because this dimension was too real. When I would just get myself out there in the woods and put on those tapes, and there would be an anointing come on that word, it would minister your soul into another dimension. And you had come from that dimension with an immunity now. There was the girls of the world, the entertainment of the world, all your old friends of the world. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. God will give you the grace if you seek him with all your heart. And the prophet says you won't have to be pulled out. You're born out of that dimension. And you're born into another dimension. And you don't want to go back into those things anymore. You have no desire. Because you've tasted of the fountains of living waters. The broken cisterns have no appeal to you anymore. And that's what I'm really fearing for our young people. If only they can taste of these living waters. Just to really take a deep drink of these spiritual waters. This dimension that God has opened in this age through the message of the hour. If they would just give it a fair shot. Just give the Lord a sufficient opportunity in your life. I remember I was saying that there to Brother George when he first came to the Lord. Remember those days. And then our pastor used to say it as well to us. And to Brother David when he first came, we'd say, brother, just come 6 weeks. Just come to church. Come Wednesday, come Friday, come Sunday. 6 weeks. In between, spend time in fellowship with the believers. And see how you are after 6 weeks. Amen. At first, it's always hard, friends. There's birth pains. You've got to die the old life. Whenever there's going to be a birth, there's got to be a death as well. And the old nature, old creation wants to kick and fuss because it doesn't want to die. But you just persevere. You just push yourself. for a short space of time with a sincere heart to say, I'm not going to do this grudgingly. I'm going to do this with all my heart. I'm going to give the Lord God of heaven an opportunity. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same after that. If you are sincere, He is more sincere. If you take one step, He'll meet you. He'll take more than one step. He'll meet you. He'll reveal Himself to you. He'll bless you. He'll strengthen you. You'll find some of your old sicknesses will disappear. Some of your old bad habits, they'll just drop off like leaves in springtime when the new life comes and the old autumn leaves drop off once again. It'll be a natural process that takes care of itself because God opens a dimension. And He wants to minister you into that secret place of the Most High. And inside of there, there's an immunity, a spiritual immunity from all the plagues, from all the temptations, from whatever Satan may perfect and may build. But there's a real, real spiritual reality that God has available for His people. And friends, like I said, you want to make sure you get there before. You want to make sure the blood's on the door before the death angel comes. Because if midnight strikes, and then you hear the screams down the street, and the death angel passed your next door neighbor, or another boy from school, and you like the prophet says, and the boy's going to his daddy and saying, Daddy, I know John from school, he lives in that house there. I've just seen the death angel's gone in his house. And the old man could say, Son, just let off the pressure. Sit down. And he said, But Daddy, the death angel, I can see him. There's a dark shadow in the streets. It's going from house to house. I say, Son, let off the pressure. Amen. Why, Daddy? What's your confidence, son? Amen. God sent us a prophet. Amen. God opened a dimension. Amen. God ministered us an immunity. Amen. I believe it. Hallelujah. I've applied it. Amen. Come, my boy. Hallelujah. You see this blood. Amen. That's Jehovah's provided atonement for the day. Amen. That's all that we need. We don't need anything else. God opened a dimension, and in that dimension, it was simple, friends. It wasn't difficult. It was applying the blood, taking that revelation. But I'm sure there were a lot of people who didn't believe Moses was really a prophet. I'm sure they were. I'm sure there were many people who said, this Moses takes too much upon himself. I'm not going to do it like that. I'm not going to mess my door like that, putting blood on my door. But there was a certain people living in that kind of a time, friends. Because the prophet says, genuine religion is always messy. You find someone really breaks through in prayer, it's messy. They'll be spitting everywhere. They'll be sweating. There'll be tears coming down their face. That's when new life's coming in, friends. Something's taking place. Real, genuine religion, when you get a hold of something real, you forget your manners. You forget those kind of things. But those people that were living in Egypt at that time, who really, really would listen. When Moses, the prophet says, Moses gathered the people together. He says, call the people. I've heard from God. And the people came from different parts of Goshen, came from different parts of Egypt. And they gathered. And then Moses came that day. And there must have been such an anointing that day. And he says, I've heard from God. There's going to be death in the land. The plague's going to strike. You need to apply the token. And to those people that were in tune with God at that time, it did something to them. And they entered into that same realm, and there was a seriousness that would come upon them. There would have been something like an urgency come in their soul, and they would have said, we need to do this now. And they went and they stored up, kept up the lamb for 14 days, and then slew the lamb. And they were doing it by faith. There was something declaring it to them. The death angel hadn't yet come, but they knew, I want to follow God's provided way. And they took the blood and they put it on the door. And maybe the Egyptians were laughing at them, saying, what are you doing? Putting blood on your doors. And they would have said, there was a prophet, a vindicated prophet. And he heard from God. And these plagues we've already seen, the frogs, the flies, the lice, the judgments of God already in the earth. And now is coming the last plague, death. And the prophet says the last plague is spiritual death to the Gentiles. Oh, friends, you don't want to be trying to apply the token when you're already half dead. Is it not better when there's still some vigor in your spiritual life? Where there's still some quickening power in your experience? To push yourself all the way. To make sure that the blood has been applied. But Mrs. Lot never did that. She never entered into that dimension. And then finally she separated with Lot. They went down to Sodom. What happens to Abraham? Melchizedek comes down. Imagine. Imagine that dimension. 318 young men. They're having service. Melchizedek comes down. Melchizedek comes down with his bread and his wine. And he blesses Abraham. My. You think when Melchizedek blesses you, you want to go down to Sodom? You don't want to go when you've got the blessing of Melchizedek. It's far greater than anything that Sodom can offer to you. Then it continues on a bit further and the Lord comes down to him. It says, Abraham, there's a token. There's got to be a circumcision. This is a sign of the covenant between you and me. And the Bible says Abraham took Ishmael and he took all of the 318 young men born in his house and they were all circumcised. My, would that not be a wonderful thing if all of us today would apply the token? Abraham did that. That anointing that was so powerful. 318 young men born in his house applied the token. And then the Lord came down to him and says, Abraham, it's almost time for you to receive the promise. But this is one thing that you need. You need a part of my name. Your name is Abram. You need to be Abraham. You know, I've opened a dimension to you. You've spent so much time with me in this dimension, Abraham. Until now, I'm going to put part of my name in you. My. That's what happens if you stay in that dimension long enough, friends. You start receiving part of his name. You start manifesting things which you would have never in your natural state. Never would have. What happens when Moses goes long enough in that dimension, he comes down and his face is shining with the glory of God. Until they have to veil his face. Who could doubt that he had been in that dimension? He spent sufficient time in that dimension. Until even when he came down, the effects of that dimension shone forth and just gradually diminished as he spent time with the people once again. What about Aaron's rod in that dimension? When it was just in this dimension, it was dry. It was just a stick that once had life. But they took that rod of Aaron, they put it in that dimension. Amen. Under the wings of the cherubim. Amen. In that secret place of the Most High. And they left it then overnight. It budded and it blossomed. And it brought forth the fruit that it was ordained to bring forth. There's something about that dimension, friends. And that's why God always, before judgment strikes, before the plagues go forth, before the judgments fully set in upon the nations, as we see these birth pains surrounding us. Remember the prophet that day, friends. And he comes there, and he's, Jack Moore's there, and the prophet comes, and he's trying to find his scripture there in John chapter 16. That's a very significant thing that took place. And he comes, and he's got his new Bible that Sister Mita gave him for Christmas, 1965, January. She's just got the Bible, and he comes and he's looking there for John chapter 16. He wants to read about the scripture when Jesus speaks about the birth pains. As a woman in travail, a woman has sorrow until the man-child is born. And he can't find his scripture. And he's finding John 16 verses 1, 2, 3 here. And he's looking for whatever verse it is and he's not, but because the two pages of the Bible have stuck together. And he's actually reading John 17. And it's the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Oh Father, that there may be one. Then he says, no, that's not the scripture. And he says, Brother Jack, is that the scripture? And he says, yes, the 16th of John. And he looks once again and he reads, no, that's not. And then finally, that priest comes up to him. Bishop Stanley, OSD of the Chaldean Rite. And he comes up to him. And you hear it on the tape. And he says, hold still, my child. God is fixing to do something. Something wonderful will come forth from this. And he comes and he gives the prophet his Bible. And then the prophet reads the scripture of birth pains. Amen. And then he hands the book back to the priest. Amen. And the priest goes and sits down. And then the prophet afterwards is in the car and they're going to get a sandwich. And his wife is so worried about why it happened. And the prophet says, and as sure as anyone spoke to me, a voice spoke to me. And said he went into the synagogue in Nazareth. Amen. And there was handed him a scroll over the prophet Isaiah. And the priest handed him the scroll. And then Jesus now took that and preached the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach glad tidings, the year of Jubilee. And then Jesus stops in the middle of the sentence where there's a comma. Because the remainder of the verse says, and the day of the vengeance of our God. My. And now, the ministry of the Son of Man comes back in just a mortal vessel this time. Yeah. Not in the Son of God, but in a prophet. Yeah. And the prophet's there, and God wanting to show us that we're in the time of the birth pains. These are the birth pains of the end of the age.
Yes.
The prophet handed the scroll, reads about birth pains, gives it back, and then he comes afterwards to preach, this day the scriptures fulfilled.
Amen.
Think about it, friends, what that means.
Yes.
You don't manufacture those kind of events. Those are predestinated events. Those are dispensational things that God does to show us the sign of the time we're living in. And friends, when you're really going to consider that and see since then how the world has gone. We've been born in this world. It's like it's normal to us. But like we said on Friday, if you brought somebody of 70, 80 years ago, someone born who was living in the 20s or 1930s, brought them to this age, like that film, whatever it was called, Time Change or whatever. And they bring that man into the present day and the man can't believe it. And he comes out of whatever it is and he comes in the street and he's running, wanting to cover the woman up with his jacket. Say, you forgot to put your clothes on. And then he looks around and all of the women are dressing like that. And then he goes into the cinema and the people are kissing and all that. And he wants to stop, you can't watch these things. But it's normal to us. Because the devil has conditioned us, friends. Because he's been increasing the intensity of his dimension. He's been ministering a deeper anointing into his dimension. And we were born in that dimension. And we started to think from that dimension. We started to understand how people should behave from that dimension. But there was always something inside of here that wasn't comfortable in that dimension. When we were eating there, the chicken food down there, we knew, I don't like this food. There's nothing else, but there's got to be something better than that. And then one day God revealed to us that he had opened another dimension. And we heard an eagle scream. And then we started to realize, I don't have to live in this dimension. I don't have to behave like this. I don't have to eat these things, cram these things down my throat that make me choke. But there's a real thing. I can soar in the heavenlies. I can fly up there in the blues. There's another dimension that I can live in. I don't have to stay down here amongst the dust and amongst the smelly barnyard. I can soar up there, like my mama.
Hallelujah.
Friends, don't you love to soar up there?
Amen.
I don't like the smell of this world anymore. I don't like the smell of the morals of this world anymore. And now they're redefining marriage and all the different things that they're doing. Friends, this world is falling apart.
Amen.
And the prophet says, thus saith the Lord,
Amen.
Before the second coming of the Lord, the world will go completely insane.
Amen.
And we see it. He says, we see it walking the streets. He says, we see it walking the church pews. There's an insanity, a gross darkness upon the people. And the prophet says, and you speak to them, and they say, Brother Bram, I don't want to do these things. But there's just a gross darkness that presses me down. If that's your condition, I'll tell you one scripture. Arise and shine.
Amen.
For your light has come.
Amen.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon
Amen.
You. That's what makes a difference.
Amen.
And when his light shines on you and he says, come up higher. Come up out of that confusion. When that mighty angel comes down and lightens the earth with his glory, shines in the darkness. And then the voice behind the voice, another voice from heaven comes and says, come out of her, my people. You just have to respond. And when you respond, you put out your eagle's wings and you'll start to fly. The prophet said, little eagle couldn't fly very high at first. It just flopped a few times and then jumped onto the fence post. And the mama says, that's good, but you're going to have to come up a bit higher than that. And friends, when you just start to respond, God will start to raise you up. God will start to make himself real. He'll start to make spiritual things real. And it makes you want to rise up higher. Right up into the crystal blue skies. Right up into that place where the air is clear. Where you can see far off. Away from all the hustle and bustle and the noise of the place that you've been born out of. And you've been born to fly the blues as an eagle. And friends, I just pray that for every single person today. As we see the judgments of God in the earth, as we see the plague strike in the nations, as we see the economies shaking, as we see Israel awakening, but the nations against the natural seed of Israel, as we see this insanity of ISIS upon the earth, these Assyrians have risen up once again, as it was in the last days of Israel. Just before the end, The signs of the times are all around, friends. But what are we going to do about it? It's a call to us. Apply the token. Take the message. Apply it. Live it. Have the right attitude towards it. If it's difficult for you, say, Lord, I want to do it, but you're going to have to help me, Lord. And if you just have the right attitude, he'll minister the grace to you. And you'll find he'll raise you up and seat you together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's stand, friends. Let's sing that song. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold, we see them, friends. The Gentile days are numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. So nice that Michael's playing his drum. He plays it very well, yeah?
Michael played the drum.
So I would have thought that it was, wouldn't be someone from Lithuania playing the African drum, yeah? That's how God does his things, yeah? It's wonderful, yeah?
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered. Horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is here. May his hearts are feeling fulfilled. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Redemption is here. The victory is growing. Jerusalem restoring. A national lifelong dethroned. Today she is calling. Latter rains are falling. Return, O dispersed, to your home. The day of redemption, it's here. Men's hearts are feeling fulfilled. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. Heaven's powers are shaking,
and
many are mistaking. God's
Jesus, the Christ
of the sky.
Of the sky.
God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is now.
Oh, hallelujah!
The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are feeling fulfilled. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clean. Look up, your redemption is here. False prophets are lying. Truth they're denying, that Jesus, the Christ, is our God. Though this generation spreads God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have
gone, where they've trod.
The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing
for fear.
Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is
for the day of redemption.
The day of redemption is here.
Men's hearts
are feeling fulfilled.
For
be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up,
But friends, it's a choice. Let's sing that song, because you have chosen the narrow way. Therefore, there's a huge portion of heaven waiting for you. It's a choice that you've got to make. You choose to walk with Him when He reveals Himself to you.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven
waiting for you, because of what you've decided.
Oh,
that was a prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce a great victory
in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time.
That divine love will live in me. I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit,
but His Holy Spirit
will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh, to walk
in this path. We can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariot
of our beloved one coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh,
I will walk this path. I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, the divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Oh, my desire, that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Since let's come to a time of prayer today. Let's speak to the Lord. No matter the condition that you're in, He's more than ready to hear your cry. Whatever the need that you have inside of your soul, you may say, I don't know the words to say. Just say what's in your heart. If it's difficult for you, why not just say it to the Lord? Say, Jesus, I know that it's right, but it's difficult for me. Oh, Jesus, grant unto me grace, Lord. I can't do it in my own strength. So I'm coming to yield myself to you upon this day. If you need salvation, why not ask Him? Say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Oh, Lord, but I thank you that there's an atonement of blood that was made. I accept it on my behalf upon this day. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Forgive me of my trespasses. Whatever your need, let's bring ourselves before the Lord. The prophet says, seek Goshen while there's still time. Make sure that your soul is in the place that it's supposed to be. Let's not leave this place with doubt, friends. Let's speak to Him. Let's come before Him. Let's call upon His name. And may He be glorified. Let's all pray. Father, as we look unto Thee upon this day, Lord, as Your people, just as in the beginning.
Lord, conquer, Lord, once and for all. Bless us, keep us, Lord. Give us as we do. Whatever you want, Brother John.
Amen. Let us continue in worship, saints.
In these, the closing days of time, what joy the glorious hope affords. Soon the wondrous truths of oh, it's a blind. He shall reign, Lord of kings, Lord of. Oh, it's coming soon. It's coming soon. It's coming. Oh, it's coming soon. We joy. We welcome. It may be born, it may be, I don't know, but I know He's coming soon. The signs around in earth and around in earth and air.
It's coming soon and very soon. It's coming soon. It's coming soon, very soon. And with joy we welcome His return. Oh, we long to see them when through the portals of the sky, through the portals of the sky, He shall come to prepare paradise. He's coming soon. He's coming. Soon is come, very soon.
Shamita, Shamita, faithful love. This hope we cherish not in vain.
We cherish not in vain,
but we comfort one another by His word.
He's coming soon.
He's coming
soon. He's coming very soon.
With joy we welcome His return.
In vain He mourned. It may be
night or noon, but I know
He's coming soon.
Soon
and very soon He's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
He's coming
very soon. With joy,
with joy we welcome His
return.
It may be more.
But I know
He's coming soon.
You might say, but what am I supposed to do? You know, I really want to be immune in this age. Let's go back to the beginning. The prophet says, Dr. Simon Peter. What was the original prescription when they came and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just set your life right. Make sure you followed Him in the waters of baptism. Then you seek His face. And He said, Lord, you promised. You lay yourself upon the altar. And when the saints come for prayer meetings, when the saints come on Friday, if you want special prayer, if you want to pray with somebody, team up with one of the people who know how to pray. And say, brother, sister, I need something deeper in my experience. Can I not come and visit you? Can we not meet together in the church? Can't you come and pray with me? Because sometimes it's not easy for people to pray all the way through. You need someone to help you. You need someone to be there with you. You need someone to help you generate an atmosphere. So get yourself together with somebody who prays, a brother or a sister. Or do like the sisters used to do. And sister, let's start getting up in the morning once again and phone one another like sisters used to do, 5:30 in the morning, and pray in their homes at the same time. The prophet says, pray in meetings to receive the Holy Ghost. Let's pray, yielding yourself, submitting yourself to the influence of the word that ministers you into a spiritual condition. Then you submit yourself and you lay a hold of the promises of God, and God is faithful to His word, and He'll revolutionize your experience. He'll give you a spiritual reality, something that gives you a consistency in your life. Whereas before you'd be up and down, but now there'll be something inside of you. It'll be a life that's not your own, but it's the life of Christ Himself that's in you. He's come to dwell in you. What a blessed promise. Let's sing one more there, Joe. It's in this old world. Ancient words, good stuff. Amen. Wonderful.
Thank you, Bro Max.
You saved us there, Bro Max. Everyone's mind went blank. Let's sing this one. Holy words, long preserved.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength,
Lord, help us to cope in this world where we roam.
Oh, ancient words will guide us home.
Ancient words,
ever true. Changing me and changing you, we have come with open hearts
changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart holy words of our faith. Give us strength. Oh, in this age came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ancient words, ever do. Changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ever true. Changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ancient words, ever true. Changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Oh, ancient words,
ancient words, ever true. Changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Let's sing one more. We'll sing that song. This old world can never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone. Can this world hold you, friends? Do you love Hollywood? It didn't hold me by the grace of God. He delivered me from that. Do you love the entertainment of this world? You don't anymore. It couldn't hold you when the revelation came to you and Christ visited you. What about this world? Just when judgment's about to pour forth in its fullness, this old world ain't going to hold us anymore. Any moment we'll be gone.
Oh, this old world,
this old world,
this old world
can never hold me.
Any moment
I'll be gone, for I have made my consecration, and I have my wedding garments on.
This old world,
oh, this old world can never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone, for I have made my consecration, and I my wedding garment.
This old sin-cursed world,
this old world,
this old world
can never hold me.
Any moment
I'll be gone,
for I have made my consecration, and I am
my wedding.
Oh, this old, this old world,
this old world,
this old world
can never hold me.
Any moment
I'll be gone,
for I have made my consecration,
and I have my wedding garment,
and I have my wedding garment on,
and I have my wedding garment.
Oh, I have my wedding garment on,
and I have my wedding garment on.
us, Brother George. Let's bow our heads, Brother George, if you'd close for us in a word of prayer, please, Brother.
Jesus, Father, Lord, what can we say that hasn't been said, Father? Lord, all we can say is thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your word ministered unto us this day.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you are mindful, you are faithful. Father, Lord, Jehovah, even as Lord, Father, was mentioned this day, Father, the prophet sees things afar. Father, you, God, see things right through, Lord God.
Amen.
And you prepared a table for us this day.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Amidst all, Father, that is happening, oh God.
Amen.
Father, a thousand falling on this side and so many this side, Lord. But Father, your word still stands and you prepared,
Amen.
Father, for us,
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Yes,
Father,
Lord.
A word to clothe us, Lord.
Amen.
That, Lord, we'd put on that holy garment, Lord, Father. Lord, that we'd be, Lord, Savior, prepared and, Lord, made ready, Lord, Savior, for that rapture, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Father, Lord, the fact that we are still here, Lord. Father, Lord, Jehovah shows there are people still out there. And Lord, it also shows that we are not ready, Lord, Father.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, we ask your grace, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord, that we'd yield, Lord, to thee, Lord. And we'd hearken your word, Lord, even upon this time, Father.
Amen.
For Lord, we feel your presence, Amen. Lord, so
yes,
much
Lord.
With us, Lord.
Amen.
Backing up your word and confirming your word, O God.
Lord.
Father, give thyself, Lord.
Please,
Father,
Lord.
Especially to our young Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Father,
yes,
that
Lord.
They would see, Lord. Father, things face to face, oh God.
Amen.
Lord, they wouldn't see glass darkly, Lord, said God.
Amen.
For Lord, this world will promise them, Lord, Father, oh, a good education and a good job, Lord, Father. But Lord, Father, Lord, it's not promising them, Lord, Savior,
Amen.
Father, that we'd be here for eternity, Lord, Savior.
Yes,
God.
Lord.
For even, Lord, the professors and the, Lord, renowned men of this world, Father,
yes,
know that something is fixing to happen, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We
yes,
ask
Lord.
Your grace, oh God.
Amen.
For we've been given, Lord, Savior, the opportunity, Lord, to look, Lord, even into that dimension, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Lord, that the prophet looked into, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, and we, Lord, Savior, by your word this day, Lord,
Amen.
We span through various dimensions and we can take, Lord, Father, even as the pastor has this day, Lord,
yes,
the
Lord.
Various events, Lord. Lord, and make them, Lord, Savior, make sense, Lord.
Yes.
Father, to what, Lord, Savior, Father, we ought to look out for.
Amen.
Bless us as we part now.
Amen.
Keep us, Lord, even as we part.
Amen.
Bless our every effort, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Bless especially, Lord, the pastor that has
Amen.
Labored this day,
Please,
Father.
Lord. Please,
oh, God,
Lord.
For the ministry Lord. Of the word.
Amen.
Father, we just bless thee, Lord, even upon
Amen.
This day. Remembering our sister, Lord, whose birthday is this day.
Amen.
Bless her, Father.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Prosper, oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Give her many, Lord, Savior. Good days, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give her those desires that she'd have, Lord.
Amen.
Father, toward a family, Lord, Savior, God. We ask your grace, Lord, God. And bless those that have not come. You bring them, Lord, to the next service, Lord.
Please, Lord.
And bring, Lord, Savior, not only, Lord, Savior, a small amount, Lord, but bring thine entire church, Lord,
Amen.
To our Wednesday service, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Bring us, Lord, to the Friday service, Lord,
Amen.
Savior, God. Lord, Father, until, Lord, Father, Lord, we'd have our communion, Lord, Savior.
Hallelujah.
We'd be the complete church, Lord, Savior, God.
Hallelujah.
We pray your grace,
yes, Lord.
Bless us and guide us as we part. Be with us, Lord, we ask in thine holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So just one announcement is, we'd just like to have a special service just for the young people on Friday. No parents allowed. So just anybody who's a young person, if you're single, please come along Friday, 7 o'clock. We'd like just to have something special for them. Just have some spiritual input. So anybody who's not married, anybody who's a youth, please come along. We really do invite you on Friday. And please pray for me. I have to take service. Brother Tommy this evening, really asking for the saints to remember us in prayer. And may the Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let's sing one as we dismiss.
I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why He cares. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. Left His mighty throne in glory, oh, to give to us redemption story. Then He died, but He rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. I don't know. Loves me. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why He cares. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad.
would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be if He didn't care? Where would I be if He hadn't sacrificed His life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. Shemaz. Oh, to know why Jesus loves me. Shemaz. Oh, I don't know why He cares. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He. I don't know why. No, I. Jesus loves me. I don't know why. Stop it. I don't know why He cares. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He.